is the shortest distance between two points, then for you this is true, in spite of the fact that there is no such thing as a straight line in a crooked world.
Words from Our Past, exclusively on Word Radio, 96.1 FM and 900 AM WURD. This episode brought to you by Comcast.
Recovery starts with a call. Pennsylvania's Substance Use Disorder Hotline is staffed by real people who are trained to help. They're here 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. They'll get you or your loved one into treatment regardless of your access to insurance. If you or someone you know is suffering from addiction, call 1-800-662-HELP. Recovery starts with a call.
Paid for with Pennsylvania taxpayer dollars.
I went to check on Pop today. We put our hands up to the glass as if we were touching. But really, the only touching part was that we both tried to smile.
That's no way to say hello or goodbye. COVID-19 vaccines are here, but until enough of us are vaccinated, we'll all still need to help slow the spread. Keep a 6-foot distance, wear a mask, and avoid indoor social gatherings. Learn more about vaccines and slowing the spread at cdc.gov/coronavirus. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
Word Radio, 96.1 FM and 900 AM WURD Philadelphia. Independent Black Media. The views and opinions expressed by the guests, listeners, and hosts of any program on Word Radio do not necessarily reflect those of ownership, management, or advertisers of this station. This program is a rebroadcast. Please disregard all dates, times, and events given. No phone calls, please.
Welcome to Recovery Talk. You're listening to 900 AM WURD. I'm your host, Rick Ford, and this Saturday, February the 13th, man, and it's a balmy 27 degrees outside. Before we get started, we're going to open up the phone lines at 215-634-8065, toll free 1-866-361-0900, or you can even download the free WURD app in your Android or iPhone. That way, you can't miss this life-saving show. Guess what? Tonight's show is sponsored by the Consortium, and we got our good friend John White on the line. But before we get to John, a few announcements. Recovery Idol. Yes, the virtual Recovery Idol. We're going to be starting. Please get your entry forms in. Deadline, April the 30th. This year, we're looking for a wonderful competition, Virtual Recovery Idol. We're going to talk a little bit more about that. Again, today we did a few watch this. We were at 23rd and Cambria today. If I'm not mistaken, this is where Fahim Childs, the young kid Fahim Childs, was murdered. So we did a community engagement today with our good friend Lakeisha and the home and school folks out there at the very corner of 23rd and Cambria, providing food on behalf of the Brothers of Stirring Mansion, caring for friends, and all the folks that came out to support the food distribution today. Food, milk, eggs, cheese, even books. So we were all there today. So on behalf of the Brothers of Stirring Mansion and Lakeisha in the Home and School Association, we want to thank you for your service. On a somber note, we also had to pay homage today to Daryl Booker, who is a friend of ours, supporting his brother. Man, I'm kind of funeral out. So we went and paid homage to Daryl Booker at 27th and Lehigh. Later this week, Wednesday, our good friend, Kenny White, his funeral will be down there at 1516 Master Street at Silo Church down there. So we're going to be doing that. And then, John, on a number note, one of my real good friends, she was murdered last Saturday, Christine Gibson. And wow. I mean, that the police and the detectives will find what a wonderful sister. Wonderful sister. We all loved her. The folks in recovery, everybody knows the great work that Christine was doing, not only here in the city of Philadelphia, but around the nation. So still, we got too much gun violence and murders happening in the city of Philadelphia. And, you know, I want to send a special shout out now. I know my producer Mike is there, but later on the break, I want to hear this particular song by Tower of Power called Soul Fascination. And I attribute that to the Black Doctors Consortium. And it says Soul Fascination, everybody get in line. And talking about getting in line, John, have you had a shot yet?
Not yet. I'm going to see my oncologist and pain doctor on Tuesday. I need to find out whether it's compatible with the fentanyl that I'm on.
Okay, great.
I need to get right. But last Saturday, I give a shout out to Spectrum Health Systems out here in West Philadelphia, 52nd and Haverford.
Yeah.
They're vaccinating my staff for free. And last Saturday, 43 consortium employees were there and got vaccinated. I'm talking to all of the staff. I'm doing a town meeting on Wednesday where our doctors are going to be talking to staff about taking that vaccine. Interesting, as I've been talking to different departments about it, I had all of my department heads on Wednesday in our meeting, and we were talking about it. I have one department where no one wants to take the vaccine.
Really?
They're all under 39.
Yeah.
All under 40, right? And they just have this thing. They don't want to take it. Now, I'm trying not to mandate it, okay? But I'm trying education before I mandate it.
Okay.
Just educate people.
Well, you know, hold that, John, because I want my producer, that song, again, is by Tower of Power. It's
Song
called
at the Tower Theater. Song at the Soul, Tower Theater. They turned it on.
Soul Vaccination. It's almost like a vaccine. Soul Vaccination by Tower of Power. But now watch this, John. I'm scheduled to get my first shot on the 18th.
Okay.
Follow me.
That's for Thursday.
So we want folks to chime in that, you know, there's a whole lot of misconception about what's happening with the vaccine. And again, I'll say this publicly. This is not on behalf of WRD. I'm speaking in behalf as a host. But again, all I see again is white privilege in terms of them kind of wanting to jump the line. How do I say that, John? I had Councilman Dime on the phone a couple of days ago, and they were talking about setting up down at the link, right? Now, I spoke with Councilman Dime. They're talking about the link. I really want to be clear and honest how we people have been, listen, our people who really don't like to travel a lot because of COVID-19, right? But a whole lot of our folks aren't going all the way to the link. Now, we have the man.
Parkside Avenue with the basketball court there.
Right, but we have the Mann Music Center. We have the Dell Music Center.
Oh,
now, clearly, I understand they've been having folks showing up at Deliverance Church. Thank God for that. Yes. But kudos go out to the Black Doctors Consortium. So yes, we're gonna get right into the show. Let's talk a little bit, John. First of all, it's good to see you.
Good to be seen, man.
Yeah.
Good to be seen. Good to be seen. We're really excited about the work that we're doing. It's getting harder, getting harder. And now, we're trying to get our folks vaccinated.
Yeah.
And my board wants me to mandate it, to make everybody do it. I'd rather try to educate people first.
Right.
Give them enough information so that they're comfortable with making an intelligent choice.
Yeah.
Not based on fiction, not based on any ad, but based on today's science. And better than that, is to protect us all.
Yeah.
It is to protect us all. It's not perfect, nothing is. But we do know this. It will reduce your chances of dying if you get the vaccine and you get the virus. You won't get as sick if you catch it after being vaccinated.
Yeah.
And the vaccine does you no harm.
Yeah. John, when I look back at those folks who were down there, and again, I'm going to talk briefly, just a moment about, again, white privilege. And here is a young 22-year-old kid who, for whatever reason, I still need clarity.
$2.5 million.
Absolutely. Has no medical history whatsoever. Student at Drexel University. But again, I want to know, and I know folks, I ain't the only one want to know, how did he able to finagle that move and get into the convention center and then take some of the vaccine home to not only to some of his friends, but even some of the cancel people were actually getting vaccine. So,
right.
The Black doctors who have been doing this kind of work basically for free, and we need to applaud them for all their work and commitment that they're doing. They believe in wanting to save lives. They're not there to make money. But again, I'll say this again, white privilege. Folks down there jumping in front of people. They're from out of town. You got to look out, man. So I support those folks. And any of you guys who see the Black doctors, just applaud them and thank them for the commitment and leadership, because folks are dying out there right now. So, that's my stay and that's my story, and I'm going to stick with it, Johnny.
Look at the contrast, though, right? They had to come to city council and fight to get some financial help for what they had been doing for free.
Very interesting, yes.
They had to come to city council for that. This is a $2.5 million handed over contract.
Yeah.
Here's two, and one of your council people had the nerve to stand up in city council and say, I know him. I got it. I paid $75 for it.
Wow.
It was supposed to be for free. And
wow.
People tell me that the line outside the convention center was all white.
Yeah. So,
some of that is on us, too. Okay, it's available to us. It's available.
Yeah.
And we really need to understand that it's killing our people.
Yeah, yeah.
And we're suffering on the way to death.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And if it's a chance that you can save the life of your child, your mother, your father, a loved one, by taking this virus, this vaccine, as well as protecting yourself, we have to do it.
Yeah, yeah.
We have to do it.
And not only that, John, but we got to kill the stigma how we look at these things in terms of Tuskegee experiments. We have to educate people. You got to move away from that. We're dealing with a host of health disparities, hypertension, diabetes, all that stuff. And it's two things. You take the vaccine or you die from COVID.
This is the bottom line.
Yeah, yeah.
It's the bottom line. But I'm telling you, the resistance just amongst my staff to taking it is something that I have to address. And I don't want to do it with discipline. I don't want to do it with punishment. I want to provide them with enough information with all the variables. I mean, if you've got some underlying condition, I get that,
yeah.
You know? But I just believe firmly that if you give our people the right information, we will do the right thing.
Yes.
And that's what I'm counting on my 280 people that I work with every day to do.
280.
That's what I have.
And what percentage of that 280 are in denial or refusal or don't want to take the vaccine?
Let's put it this way. Out of 280 people, 43 showed up with the vaccine.
The black and brown people?
These are consortium, we black folks.
Okay, I just want to make that publicly. So, and hopefully those folks that are viewing and listening, please understand, you know, as you look at the numbers, as we go on today, they're opening up, they are expanding in restaurants and open up all these places. People, please pay close attention. Continually wash your hands. Continually wear masks. Continually practice social distancing. I'm telling you, man, this is real.
Even with the vaccine, you still have to continue to do those practices. You
right.
still have to wear your mask. You still have to wash your hands. You still have to be careful at this.
Yeah.
The vaccine doesn't exempt you. It doesn't exempt you from getting it. Nor does it exempt you from passing it on, right?
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
And we need to understand that. I think we're looking for a silver bullet. I think we're looking for that silver bullet. You know, I heard things and listening to my folks, I heard things like, well, if I have to wear the mask anyway, if the mask is the best thing to keep me from getting it and to keep me from spreading it, then why should I take the vaccine?
Yeah.
Okay? If I can be sitting in a room and you and I both have been vaccinated, how can we pass it on to somebody else? How does that happen? The one question that I had a difficult time answering is I don't want anybody telling me what to do with my body.
Yeah.
Telling me what I have to put in my body. That was a tough one to answer. But here's the deal. If it keeps you from dying,
yeah,
from being too, you know, really sick, why not do it and save your life? Save your life.
Yeah. Well, you know, John, you know, after we moved away from 2020, and I hope folks can understand the importance of transitioning over into where we are now, February 2021. We still have to keep our focus on where we're moving in terms of, and you know, on the second half of the show.
You got to keep your eye on where you're going.
Right. On the second half of the show, John, I want to kind of talk to you a little bit about what your thoughts about what's going on here in the city of Philadelphia with the school system and all that. We'll do that on the second half of the show. And we're going to open up the phone lines for folks who would like to call in. 215-634-8065, toll free. 1-888-1-866-361-0900. 1-888, I thought I got it right. Maybe I don't get it right. I'll get it right for you. Or call the 215-634-8065. That way we want to hear your views, your thoughts, your concerns, your comments about what's happening with, do you want to take the shot? Are you still caught up on the stereotyping thinking of, as we did with the Tuskegee experiment and the Grady Ford experiment and all that stuff? You know, we got a lot to cover.
But it was real, Rick.
Say it again.
It happened on that campus was real.
This program is a rebroadcast. Please disregard all dates, times, and events given.
You shouldn't just discount
calls,
that.
Please.
Yeah.
I think the emphasis really is on today.
Yeah.
What does science say today?
Yeah.
Is this going to help protect me? Is this going to protect me from dying? Is this going to keep me from getting even sicker by this deadly virus?
Mm-hmm.
Does I have a better chance of surviving by taking the vaccine?
Yeah.
How about my family? You know, how about my children? I had members who changed their mind, who initially were taking the posture that they weren't going to take it, okay? But then they started reading and listening to this information, and they started worrying about their babies and their grandbabies.
Well, hold it, John. For those, again, I'm going to give you that phone number. I'm going to say it slowly. 1-866-361-0900. All right. And area code 215-634-8065. Give us a call. We want to hear from you. Are you afraid or have you already had the shot? Back to you, John.
That's it. So that's the emphasis for me. More education, more information. And I really think people should decide to do the right thing.
Yeah.
But at the same time, we got to keep our focus on tomorrow. You know, we got a lot of issues, Rick, that are getting lost in the shuffle, that are getting left out of the discussion. You still have an opioid crisis. We still have an opioid epidemic in this town.
Yes.
We still have gun violence taking place.
Yes.
You know, the virtual schools that they're doing, right?
Yeah, well,
we want schools to be open. We can get into this later on, but Rick, how are our kids doing? How many of our kids are participating?
John, our kids are struggling in terms of depression. They're not going to school, right? All these external things are killing our kids.
I've said this, John,
and I'll say it publicly, get on the air. I've always asked that William Hyten, I don't want to give him the whole case, but if you look at historically about what has been happening with the school system of Philadelphia, with all the money that's allocated to them, even from the money that comes from the parking authority, we start talking about taxes in this city and taxation without representation, none of that money seems to enhance the school system. If you look at the Philadelphia school system here in the city of Philadelphia, I go back to Ben Franklin High School, inundated with asbestos, bad water. They're talking about spending this money and putting in some little fans. Come on.
Stop
playing this game.
Well, I don't even know why that was so, that just sounds stupid. That just sounds stupid, you know. But there's got to be a way, because how far behind are our kids going to fall as a result of this shipment? And what are we going to do about it? How far behind will our kids be at the end of this school year? How are you going to make up that lost learning opportunity?
Yeah.
If you can get 30% of what you learned throughout the school year over summer vacation, what's this period going to do with our academic advancement? And I don't know if anybody's even asking that question, you know, because life is going to go on. And when this is over, we're going to be left with whatever is left.
Yeah.
So where are our kids in this? I don't know.
And you know, Zach, and here we are in February. And
Already.
So, you know, as I know, you figure, I don't know how many, maybe a month or 2 months from now, the temperature will begin to change.
That's right.
Right? Which would
outside
would possibly bring more people outward. You know, if you got schools that are say it again?
Possibly.
No, it's going to happen.
Right. Folks, I can't wait for the Mann Music Center, though. I can't wait to get back at the Dell.
Well, you know, I'm going to be meeting with my folks who are at the Dell Music Center, but I think it's important that we got to understand if the rec centers are closed, and you know, there's nothing open for our kids, we have to create something. We can't wait on the Big Boys and the Big Girls Association. We, the people, only person going to save us is us. And I want to say that again. We can't wait on the politicians.
From us, but us.
Right. So, you know, I'm just watching the temperature and how things begin to move towards March, April, May. We have to start preparing our kids and all these associations to kind of put something together. You know, when you start talking about the opiate epidemic, and you know, my office is down there on Torresdale Avenue, and I ride through Kensington Avenue, and it's like, you know, you have kids. Watch the kids. Can you imagine what kids are faced with when they have to walk through the streets and see people urinating and defecating and having sex and doing and stealing and robbing? Kids are traumatized behind this, right? And we, the city of Philadelphia, hasn't put anything in place. I'm going to be talking to the police commissioner to go back to the old movement that we used to do with Sylvester Johnson with the Heads Up program, prevention, intervention. These are the things that we need to start putting in place now, because we don't know how many of these kids are going to start using drugs. How many of these kids are going to start acting out with crime and robbing and raping and murdering? We, the people, we got to do something.
If we're not addressing the trauma and traumatic experiences that our kids are facing right now as we speak, we're going to be in big trouble.
Yeah.
And that's my fear, okay? We've tried to explain to the powers that be. And I got shout out to PCCY, Public Citizens for Children and Youth. They're a strong advocacy group for children and adolescents. And the, one of the things that we've been saying is, you know, they're experiencing this trauma. The Walter Wallace shooting, for example. He wasn't a stranger to the kids on that block.
Yeah.
Remember, they knew him. He was okay with them. They weren't afraid of him. And then they see him get shot down.
Yeah.
The trauma associated with that. Then they can't go outside. They can't visit their friends.
Yeah.
Then you see the news. Your boy, 45, back in the pool. I said it was your boy, 45.
Yeah.
Well, these traumatic experiences, Rick, and I think without putting our business out there, I think you know about that too. How that trauma catches up to you.
Yeah.
At some point.
Yeah.
You know? And we've got to focus on preparing our kids to get past this.
Yeah.
Yeah, we protect them now, but you better, and you gotta prepare them to get past this, to get through this.
Yeah.
You know? And I don't know. I don't know where our government is. I don't even hear people talking about that at this point. And that's worrisome. That's worrisome. I know the president, I know Darrell Clark, is very interested and very concerned about these kinds of issues.
Yeah.
But he can't do it by himself.
Not at all. It takes a team.
It takes a team. I don't know who his teammates are.
Yeah. Hey, John, hold that. We got a caller, Dwayne, calling from Southwest Philly, on line one. Dwayne, welcome to the show.
What's up, Dwayne?
Oh, yes. Yes, how you doing?
Hey. Great.
Well, I was talking about the vaccine. I don't know. I'm not gonna take it because I don't. To me, I don't trust it.
Why is that?
Well,
because you know, all the stuff they did to our people, and I just don't trust the government. So I'm not gonna take it. Because well, you know why? In other words, they came up this stuff so fast. And here they got stuff doing can't kill cancer and stuff. Now all of a sudden they come up with this stuff. It's supposed to. To me, I don't trust it.
Okay. So, Dwayne, let me ask you a question. How old are you about?
I'm about 61.
So, do you have any major health disparities? Hypertension, diabetes, overweight, smoke cigarettes. What's your thing?
No, I don't smoke. I don't. I'm not diabetic. My health is good.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
You know, either way, I appreciate it. I can respect that. But
yeah, because I do a lot of exercise too. To build my immune system.
But the lack of trust is no good without discernment.
Yeah.
It's no good without discernment. And we're talking about a life-saving event. And I had the same concern. I used to speak about that experiment while I was Secretary of Welfare. and walking around, riding around and talking to people about health back in the 80s. But the truth of the matter is, all these advancements, you know, we have to have enough discernment to decide what is worth the gamble in saving your life and the lives of your neighbors. And it's a personal decision, okay? But I just want us to exercise discernment, to be able to see through to the other end. That's all. And if what you see at the other end is death and destruction, you're willing to take that chance, hey, man, we'll roll with you. We'll try to help you save your life, okay? But on the other hand, if you can see your way to moving on, the vaccine will help you get there.
Hey, thanks for calling, Wayne.
You're going by what they say, right?
Huh?
You're going by what they say. They say they the vaccine will save your life, but I don't believe it.
Well,
because you know you got to they lie, too.
But I'll tell you what.
Go ahead, Dan.
Wait a month and see what the data shows then about black people. Because right now, of course, more of us are dying proportionally than any other ethnic group that we know of. Okay?
Yeah.
Let's take that month and let's see what happens.
Yeah.
And I'm being honest. I just told Rick, I got to find out on Tuesday if I can actually take the vaccine. Okay? Because of the medication that I'm on. You know? So when I can get an answer to that, I'll take the vaccine.
Yeah.
But I might not get an answer on that for weeks. For weeks. Because I don't know if anyone in those trials not only was on fentanyl, but Rick, have they been on fentanyl as long as I have?
Yeah. Hey, thanks for calling, Dwayne.
Thanks, Dwayne.
Sorry, okay. Thank you.
So here's what we're going to do, Jan. We're going to take a break, and we're going to come back and swing into the second segment where we're going to start talking about some other things that are happening in the city. And I'm quite sure we always watch. No, I'm going to say some folks is watching the impeachment. That show, we'll talk a little bit about that. And again, white privilege and how they operate with the Republicans. Why waste all this time? Yes, hold that. We'll be right back.
So there's someone very close to you, and they're in a lot of trouble with opioids, alcohol, maybe other drugs. You're desperate to help, but you don't know what to do. So you just watch, and just as desperately, you do nothing. Well, there is something you can do. Call the consortium. They've helped a lot of people in their 50 years, thousands, good people who just need to get out of their own jail. The consortium's multicultural clients come from all over the region to their West Philadelphia location because the consortium's understanding and proven methods are treasured by them because they work. And while they could go anywhere, they choose the consortium, and so can you. Call 267-233-5163. If you know someone in trouble, just give us a call. We'll help with the rest. The consortium, 267-233-5163.
Greater Philadelphia Health Action, GPHA, has been a champion of quality and comprehensive healthcare services for more than 50 years. GPHA is your total healthcare home, providing medical, dental, behavioral health, pharmacy, and child development services. GPHA now offers telehealth visits to connect you with a provider from the safety of your home, sick visits, follow-ups, chronic disease medication management, subspecialty care, behavioral health therapy, dental, and more. Pediatrics through adults. Know your health. Know yourself. Be aware of your health and any underlying health issues that you may have. In-person appointments are also available, ensuring all CDC guidelines are followed for your safety. Schedule an appointment today with GPHA, 1-888-296-GPHA or GPHAINC.org. GPHA, your total healthcare home, 1-888-296-GPHA or visit us online at GPHAINC.org. If you or your loved one is dealing with a drug or an alcohol addiction, has experienced multiple relapses, or just knows there is more to life than the endless guilt and shame that comes with addiction, Stop and Surrender is there for you. Our approach is non-judgmental. However, we are careful to recognize the cunning and insidious nature of the disease of addiction that we work with on a daily basis. At Stop and Surrender's outpatient program located 2522 West Huntington Street, we will work with you and your family throughout the entire intervention process so that recovery is carefully thought out, clearly understood, and clinically organized. We realize that the decision to move forward with recovery is not easy. However, we are confident you and your family will come to the collective realization that the consequences of not taking this first step far outweighs the effort required to initiate the intervention process. If you have a desire to recover, help is only a phone call away. Recovery is absolutely possible for anyone. Stop and Surrender, because tomorrow may be too late. For more information, call Outpatient 215-225-4626, Monday through Friday, 9 to 9. Supportive Housing 215-221-0662, Monday through Sunday, 9 to 9. Stop and Surrender, because tomorrow may be too late.
Hi, this is Council President Darrell Clark, and I listen to my main man, Rick Ford, heard here on 900 AM WURD.
At the Tower Theater, boy,
hey, we are back at 900 AM WURD, Soul Vaccination by Tower Power, and the line that gets me is, everybody get in line. I'm trying to tell you.
Vaccination.
Yeah, so everybody, I give you that to the line. Black Doctors Consortium. For those that are going to get the vaccine, get in line so that you can get this life-saving medication. All right.
How do we sell it? How do we get more people to accept the vaccination?
We just got to really encourage people that our people, black and brown people, we got to take a look at what's happening globally. This is no mystical, magical thing that's happening. Folks are dying. And I'm quite sure those that are viewing and listening know you know someone who has passed on. This ain't no dream. This ain't no movie that you hit pause or rewind. I had family members, my wife's brother, and some other people that we know personally. John, this is serious. Now, those folks, the conspiracy theorists who feel like God is going to, yeah, you know, I'd say that God has protected me thus far. But if the medication is available, would I be an idiot to be instrumental of the taking of my own life by not getting the vaccine? Now, Dwayne said what he wanted to say. I pray that Dwayne stays safe and nothing happens to Dwayne. You follow me? But I know for me, it is important, John, like you said, we have to encourage our people that are all dealing with health disparities, hypertension, obesity, all those things, man. Listen.
The question that I asked of my staff was this. What would it take to change your mind? For those of you who last week said, no, you would not take it, but then decided to take it,
yeah.
What was it that changed your mind? You know, what information do you need to give you assurance? How do we handle the conspiracy theory off of the Tuskegee experiment?
Yeah.
How do we, what do you need to hear in order to get you to understand that that was yesterday and this is today?
Today, yeah.
And that since it was yesterday, we didn't just let it happen. Steps have been taken to make sure that it never happens again.
Yeah, yeah.
Now we're here. Different day, different circumstance, totally different environment, different regulatory, the whole thing is different.
Yeah.
So yeah, that may have been a concern some time ago.
Yeah.
But does that have to still be a concern today? I don't think so.
I just believe in terms of medication, and again, I have to reiterate the fact that the Black Doctors Consortium and those people, some people are godsend to help us save our lives. Some people think it's like the Jim Jones Kool-Aid and all that.
Come on, man. They sound like the Trump folks.
Yeah.
You know? Something came down from the satellites in the sky. Come on, man.
And if you look at those folks from the other expression that are quickly to make sure that they get there and try to get in front of us to get it.
They are getting it. They will cheat to get in front of us.
Yes.
They are cheating in certain jurisdictions to get in front of us.
Yeah.
They're not 1A, okay? They may be 2 or 3, but they will cheat to jump the line, to get ahead of us with this.
Yeah.
I just pray that we do gain enough information, enough education, and exercise enough discernment to do something for ourselves as a change.
Yeah.
That's something that King said New Year's Eve coming into 1968, where he asked us to have 3 resolutions. One of them was, let's do something for ourselves for a change.
Yeah.
Macy Gray put it another way. When are people going to rise up and take what's theirs?
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, I tell you, John, that people like me and you and countless others who believe in, I've always said
this
it takes
a village. This program is a rebroadcast. Please disregard all dates, times, and events given. No phone calls, please.
All the other contributing factors, folks don't have a job, folks who are living in deplorable situations with families. You know, I just take my hat off to mothers who have to stay home to kind of work with their kids on a Chromebook and they know how to operate.
It's hard, man.
It's disturbing.
Hey, listen, look at my people. They're doing telehealth. All my staff are working from home. But your kids there.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, and they have no social interaction. Where do they get their release?
Yeah.
Where do you get their release? You know, these are tough times, but we don't have to make it harder on ourselves.
But you know, John, tough times don't last. Tough people do.
Yeah, but those tough people don't make it harder on themselves along the way.
Yeah, yeah, we got to help
folks, man. Make it harder on ourselves.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, you know, John, I just pray and I ask Almighty God to, for those that are out there struggling right now financially, living situations, poverty and education and health disparities.
We've forgotten all about that, Rick.
Say it again.
We've forgotten all about that.
Yeah, some of us have. And something you alluded to early. Something you said earlier.
We have forgotten all about that.
Yeah.
Check it out. COVID is the excuse for everything.
Yeah.
COVID is the excuse for government not working. Come on now.
Yeah, what's a lot? And I really want to be clear again, when I look at if you prioritize what's important in people's lives, like something you talked about earlier, folks ain't paying attention to what's happening with the opiate epidemic. Folks, you know, I am so out of my mind to watch the news and look at the number of the gun violence. It's just, and I'll say this, John. I recall having a kid I talked to a year ago on a show from Baltimore. He said to me that he went in the alley and there were some people who dropped bags of guns off. Those people weren't our people. Right. He said they put bags of guns, a couple bags of guns in the alley. So all this stuff, man, that's happening, we have to wake up.
And Rick, I'm telling you.
And we're talking to the choir.
Yeah, but you know, but we're using COVID as an excuse for not doing.
Yeah, yeah.
If you call a department, a city government, and you've been waiting on them to respond to you or something, what's the first thing they're going to say? The COVID. COVID is the excuse for everything. So, gun violence, talk about the COVID. Oh, well, we can't do this because of COVID. Well, wait a minute, right? Schools, oh, we can't do that because of COVID. I need answers to my question. Oh, I'm sorry, I don't have anybody here to answer your question because of COVID. Yeah. Stop making excuses for our failures. COVID is not an excuse. COVID ought to be a call to action.
Yeah.
In the COVID environment, you ought to turn a call sooner. You ought to try to get answers to people's questions sooner in this environment.
Yeah. Yeah.
You ought to be doing, now's the time to execute solid plans to end gun violence. Right now. Not when this is over. I'm talking about right now. Use that time to plan. Coming out of this, we ought to be better situated to address gun violence tomorrow than we are today.
Well, you know, I thought about what we did at the end of 2020, we had 499 murders. And I, you know what, I'm afraid to even say where we are today, February the 13th. It's to a point where I can give you another point. Just 2 days ago at the gas station at 33rd and Ridge, kid was shot 16 times there. And what? When I think of Christine Gibson, that day, last Saturday, three women, there were seven murders. Three of the murders were women, three women. Come on, what is going on with our people? So, I don't know. We can have these discussions all night, and we can get the best scientists and therapists and counselors and all these people around a table, and no one can come up. But you know what, John? I'll say this here. And my mother-in-law told me this. Something was crazy when they closed the doors of the churches.
Watch out.
Yeah, we got to start praying for people. We got to get people acclimated to some other things, man. And I don't know. I'm in it to the end. John, till the day I close my eyes, I'm going to be on the front line doing what God has allowed me to do, service people through addiction, treatment, and recovery, feeding people, motivating, educating people. That's my assignment.
Well, you're going to be mighty bored when you get to heaven.
Well, I just, you know, it's funny.
You're going to be bored to death.
It's funny. I just put a text on my phone. My mother died January the 6th, 1993, and I just put something on Facebook. Mom, I'm trying to be the best I am, but wait for me and I'll be out there with you.
There you go. There you go.
What else is happening over there at the consortium out there, West Philadelphia?
Let's talk about some solutions for change.
Okay, let's do it. We got about a good 8-9 minutes, John.
Remember a couple weeks ago we were talking about mobile crisis and the crisis response to people? We're making some progress in that area, man. We really are. We're working closely with the police, Dr. Bowen, Jill Bowen, and Faith Washington.
Yes.
The new for running CPH and DPH, they've been very responsive, Rick. Very
That's
responsive.
Great.
And trying to move things along. My son, I'm really proud of him, you know, doing the social engagement piece.
Yes, right? He's doing a great job over there.
Right. He should be tip off the old block, right? I told
yes,
him everything.
He is. You
know, and I'm still more handsome than he is, you know? But Michelle Hayward and those folks who are really in the trenches, you know, trying to get this thing done, man. And it's time to look for what can we do as a community. Does town watch work anymore, Rick?
Well, you know, kudos go out to Anthony Murphy, good friend of mine. But town watch integrated services can't do them by themselves.
No,
PAN can't do it by themselves.
Yeah,
the Black Health Community Council can't do it by themselves.
So come on, Rick.
Jones can't do it by themselves.
So why do they have to be by themselves?
No, but follow me, John. Several years ago, I created a thing called the Network. And the Network was putting all these organizations together. So there's no big eyes and little U's. And I'll go back and I'll say this publicly over the air. My good friend over there at iHeart, Lorraine Ballard, called me about 10 years ago, invited me to a meeting over there, and former police commissioner, Sylvester Johnson, Darcy, Bilal, Mark Harrell, and some other weakmen. Something in that meeting, John, watch this, something in that meeting turned me. One lady said, well, I've been doing this and I'm not getting funding. I left that meeting and I was a little messed up about that because I was in a room with some wonderful people, some great advocates, right? But if people are chasing money, it moves me another way. So I'm not, and I'm gonna say that publicly, folks are out there dying. We ain't got time to be chasing money. We gotta save lives.
The summer of 1971, Curtis Thomas, Andrew Karn.
Wow.
Late Benny Swans.
Yeah.
Denise Rawls, Edwina Roberts. We met in Bill Brown's office at Community Concern 13. And you may not be old enough to remember this.
Okay? I ain't had gray hair then, so.
And that's when we started Network.
Yeah.
Brought community groups together. Out of that came the Crisis Intervention Network.
Yeah.
Out of that meeting,
came
one of the most effective, what would you call it, community organization in the city, the Crisis Intervention Network.
Yeah.
Right? That's where it all starts. When we had all the gang violence.
Yeah.
It was Mom Crippins.
Wow.
And Miss Brookins, who went out with their brooms. And would stop the kids from fighting because they thought the kids would respect moms.
Yeah.
So they went out there with their brooms, Rick.
Yeah.
And they pretty much ended the gang violence.
Yeah.
Okay? So we can do it. There's things we can do. But when I meet with a police captain, and I ask the captain, so what can we as a community do to help you?
Yeah.
His response is, if you see people standing on the corner, call 911.
Wow. Yeah.
We just got to talking about the number of homicides in Southwest Philly.
Yeah.
The number of robberies, street robberies. He just got to talk about all of that. So what can we do to help you?
Yeah. Wow.
She's standing on the corner, call 911. I said, that's not what I'm talking about, man.
Yeah.
I'm not talking about that. Yeah. I'm talking about what can we do? Can we organize? Can we?
Well, you know what, John, I think we got like 2 minutes left. So we can pick that back up again at the next conversation, hopefully.
Yeah.
Anybody you want to thank before we leave tonight?
Wow. I want to thank my chief medical officer, Dr. Kathleen Klein. I want to thank Dr. Bannum for the tremendous job they're doing. I want to thank the leadership at the consortium, Trish Brooker and Dawn Curry and Stefan Zonia for the hard work that they're doing there to make sure that our people can continue to get services. But the most important thank you I want to thank our Lord and Savior.
Right.
those two words, thank you, were so important that when he cleansed the lepers and only one of them came back to thank him, he wanted to know where the other nine were.
Yes.
Thank you is important. So yeah. Thanks, John. Thank you.
Hey, John, I love you, man. And again, for all the women that are viewing, happy Valentine's Day. Tell the first
one. I went and got mine today.
Me too.
There you go.
Again, we want to thank everybody for viewing and listening, man. This is what we do. We do the show every Saturday, bringing hope and healing. John, love you, man.
Thank you. Thanks for your hope, and thanks for your healing power, Rick. Love you, Black.
All the time, man. So, again, man, for those that are viewing and listening, don't change that dial. Stay tuned. Up next here at 900 AM WURD, our good man, Lloyd Cummings. And he's going to be taking, you know what, John? We're going to be going to one of these islands, Jamaica, wherever. Wherever he'll take us, he'll take us there.
Me and you and our ladies?
Huh?
Me and you and our ladies?
We need to go. I love you, man. Thanks, John.
Thank you.
Until next week, man, you guys, love someone because someone needs to love you back. To my wonderful wife, Sheila Ford, the first lady, happy Valentine's Day. To my two daughters, Quadia, Sierra, happy Valentine's Day. And to all the Ford members and Sanders members and Williams and Meacham, all you wonderful folks, happy Valentine's Day. Until next week, peace. We out of here.
Inflation getting higher, makes it hard on the buyer. Unemployment on the rise, gasoline issues filled with lines. Rent being paid late, please. Let the dollar circulate, let the dollar circulate. Rates going up, seems like no value from the book. Meat prices up to stay, utilities are on their way.
Toyota proudly presents, in their own words, the late Chadwick Boseman, another HBCU-trained graduate of Howard University, spent a much too short amount of time with us. Yet, through his brilliance as an actor, he showed us and told us incredible stories and life lessons.
Everybody is the hero in their own story. You know,
right.
like you should be the hero in your own story. You should be, you should see yourself conquering, you know, the dramatic action of whatever you're trying to do. So when you get to crisis, you know how to deal with it. You
right.
should be able to do that. And there are people that come in and help you with your story, but you have to be the person who deals with the conflicts that are in place. Nobody else can. There's no deus ex machina.
Right.
It's going to come in and save it for you. Even if you pray to God, God expects you to do some things.
Toyota is pleased to feature African-American icons expressing themselves in their own words. Toyota, let's go places.
Hi, it's me, Gia Peppers. Tune in to More Than That with me live this weekend or catch the show wherever you listen to podcasts. This week, I'm talking to Arian Simone, president and CEO of Fearless Fund. More Than That is brought to you by General Motors. Visit GM.com for more on their commitment to becoming the most inclusive company in the world.
We
are solving and participating in the solution of the racial disparities that exist for Black women and minority women as a whole. Right now, Black women receive 0.0006% of venture funds. And we knew that there wasn't just a lack of diverse investments, there were a lack of diverse investors. The industry is 80% white male. So in order for us to change what the investments look like, we knew we had to become investors in the process. And this has come about because we are entrepreneurs turned investors, so we know what it's like to raise capital. When I was a student at Florida A&M University, 21 years old, I was opening up a mall-based retail